Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Latin Babbler Show. I am your host, the Latin Babbler. We welcome to the listeners on our neighborhood radio on radio89.com and those on all podcast platforms. Today, we are celebrating the start of Black History Month. And man, we have a lot to be thankful for as the African-American community for opening up a lot of doors that we see today for people of color that represent a lot of the nations that live here. So we also celebrate our brothers and sisters in the Afro-Latinos community. I am here with the crew. Dig it, I shout it out.
What's up? How you guys doing? What's up?
Miss Rocky.
Hey, hey. Welcome to another episode.
El Bojique.
What, what? Que lo que, familia. Happy to be here.
Así, pero freco, man.
Oh, pero bueno. Oh.
So let's get right into it. We have a lot of good information to give you guys, and we're going to start off with Tigera's celebrity highlight, and you've got 10 Latinx movies that
yes,
we have to watch in 2021. Shout them out.
Okay, number one, Rompan Todo, La Historia de Rock in America Latina. It's going to be featured on Netflix if you want to go check it out. We have number two, which a lot of people that I know about this one, Mucho, Mucho, Mucho Amor, The Legend of Walter Mercado.
If you want to learn more about that,
you can also find it on Netflix.
And not just that, but you know, we had an episode on it.
So. Of course. That's why I said I know our people know about it.
Then also, again, let's not turn around and spoil it, because I think we actually talked about the episode. Well, no, actually, we didn't go fully into it.
No,
so
you didn't.
Listen to the episode.
No. And then we have Encanto from Disney. It's based, it's like a Colombian background, which is kind of cute in Spanish. Encanto Disney World movie, which you guys have to go check it out.
Oh.
Carlos Almaraz, Playing with Fire, is based on a Mexican artist. Carlos Almaraz is on Netflix as well. Pachamama is also on Netflix. It's based on Los Andes Spaniards arrived in Peru. That's a little
talking about indigenous.
Yeah. Yes.
Andes,
yes.
Nice.
Los Andes. And then, of course, number six, we have Afro Latinx Revolution Puerto Rico. I don't have to say more. It's Boricua. Definitely on YouTube. And we have After the Raid, a documentary short story. It basically is based on a immigration raid back in Tennessee. You guys should check it out. It's interesting. We also have Guatemala. That's number eight. Heart of the Mayan World. It's basically based on the beautiful Guatemala. And it's also on Netflix. And then we have number nine, Black in Latin America. It's on YouTube. So you guys can go check it out too. Yes, it's an interesting title to it. And then number 10, Ya No Estoy Aquí, I'm No Longer Here, is basically based on poverty and violence and discrimination, is also on Netflix. I hope you guys can all check it out.
Pero la tigra, you here? What you mean you're no longer here? I hear you. You here?
Oh, yeah. But you know, yo te lo puse en inglés y español. ¿Qué es lo que la vaina?
Oh, pero qué lo que.
Hey, I'm actually interested in some of these, though, because, right. Like, Encanto is, like, Disney's version of kind of become more diversified. So, they're, you know, them introducing an entire movie based on that, it's kind of really cool. Pachama, which we talk about, actually, in next Bojica is something Latino. We'll talk about that in a second. It's actually based on the indigenous. So, just the fact that they're starting to make a lot of movies that are focusing on the Latino. After the Raid, I want to see, because getting into the psyche of people who actually experience a raid, that's crazy. So,
that's crazy.
All right, Bojique, we have Something Latino. What you got this week?
Yes, well, this week on Something Latino, we're taking a road trip to South America. Bro, I did not know that they speak over 300 languages in South America. Obviously, the colonizers' common native tongue is prevalent, English, Spanish, and Portuguese, right? Go figure that. But it's awesome that their native language is still spoken. I mean, it's great. It's awesome, right? Like Quechua, also known as the people's language, with 8.9 million speakers. Guarani, with 4.9 million speakers. And Aymara, with 2.8 million speakers. And did I mention that the linguists, they're estimating 300 languages, like I said at the beginning. You know, having been to Panama and seeing some of the indigenous and hearing them speak like their native tongue is bananas. So just to know that there are so, I mean, it's difficult to wrap your mind around it, right? You know, there's indigenous tribes, or they haven't all been extinguished like we've been led to believe. But to know that so many people are speaking these native tongues is great. It's awesome.
Definitely.
Yeah, and actually some of these indigenous tribes have just been discovered in the past year. So like deep in the Amazon forest. So the scientists believe that there's like tribes out there that we haven't even found. That are just hiding further deep inside. So definitely interesting facts. Heading down to South America and are something Latino. So that's amazing, right?
Hey, don't forget, Dominicans have their own tongue. Oye, tigre, pero esa vaina, ¿qué está hablando con todos
estos? Oye, pero fresco, man. No es que estamos aquí, coño.
Pero que ustedes, eso es otro lenguaje también.
That's the Ebonics.
And don't forget the Cibao. Cibao.
That's called the tigerao, okay? El tigerao.
El tigerasmo, ahí.
El tigeraje, carajo.
Dale, tigeraje.
All right. Miss Rocky, give us our artist spotlight of the week.
Well, guys, we're presenting today Maynor Vargas y su orquesta Bonco. So Maynor Vargas was born in Nicaragua and is also a resident of Los Angeles, California. Founded Orquesta Bonco in 2013. Influenced by many salsa artists such as Willy Rosario, El Gran Combo, Gilberto Santa Rosa, Oscar de León, Luis Enrique, among others. Orquesta Bonco includes musicians from Nicaragua, El Salvador, Panama, Colombia, Cuba, Puerto Rico, and the United States. Here is Seguía Lloviendo Afuera by Maynor Vargas y su orquesta Bonco.
Saludos, mi gente. This is Maynor Vargas, and you're listening to Seguía Lloviendo Afuera on the Latin Babbler Show. ¡Azótalo!
Afuera, le dije llama y quédate, y vi que no tienes medios para volver. Le preparé una copa, ella miraba al ventanal, y al fin nos sentamos juntos a conversar. Surgieron al principio dos grandes temas, después contó su vida que no escuché. Estaba muy ocupado en sus bellos ojos, lo estaba imaginando. Ya saben que
Damn.
Okay, I'm ready to go dance to some salsa right now.
Right?
Vamos con una discoteca por ahí porque yo estoy cansada de mi casa, coño.
For real.
He brought the club in the house.
Yeah, that was amazing.
That's really
amazing.
Good.
Wow, I would love to go some. Man, I really, really need to go dancing, yo. I can't do this anymore.
You can follow them on Facebook and on Instagram at Bonco Music, and you can follow Minor on Instagram at Minor Bonco Singer. They're also on Spotify, so go check it out.
Are you a huge cunt?
Us too.
Wait, can we even say cunt?
Of course. It's empowering these days. Cunt, 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 cunt.
I'm Ange Balasone, aka the drag queen, That Girl Gina.
And I'm Mike Fales, just a normal gay guy, I guess?
And we're the hosts of The Big Cunty Couch,
a gorgeous new talk show podcast where we invite queers and peers to sit, bitch, and be fierce on a huge-ass couch
while we gab about all things gay.
So come get cozy
and cunty
with us. We're pan for platforms, so find us anywhere online and get listening, sweetie.
Or watching.
Or both.
Otherwise, why the hell am I in full drag?
And we'll see you on the big... Oh, wait. I thought we were going to say that together.
No. On the big cunty couch. Mwah.
Follow them. Follow them. Because they're going to be out this week. Going to be out with the episode this week. So as we celebrate Black History Month, I wanted to talk about our awesome and amazing Afro-Latinos. So now let us just clarify... Black History Month is to honor the sacrifices and the achievements of African Americans that were enslaved and oppressed to this date. Mm. And it's important to celebrate all of their descendants and their contributions. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this is the Latin Babbler Show. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure that we recognize our Afro-Latinas community as well because we share a common lineage.
Yes.
Let's not forget that we have some crazy influence and Latinx legends of African descent. Roberto Clemente, who was Puerto Rican of African descent, became the first Latino player inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Woo!
Woo-woo! Number two, African-Dominican Juno Diaz, writer and professor at Massachusetts Institute of Technology, which is MIT, is a Pulitzer Prize-winning author and MacArthur Fellow. And last but not least, Celia Cruz, of course, who was Afro-Cuban, the queen of salsa. One of the most popular and renowned Latin artists of all time. She is known internationally. And that's just a few, to say the least.
And that's, you know, that's just pointing out the legends, though. I mean, we got like current ones like, you know, Zoe Saldana, David Ortiz.
Yeah.
Cardi B.
Dominican.
Elizabeth Acevedo, who was actually like a New York Times bestselling author. And I actually didn't know this, but Carl Anthony Towns, who plays for the Minnesota Timberwolves, is a Dominican American.
Huh. Did not know that.
That one caught me. I completely didn't know.
There's another one too. Ask about
I know, that. But trust me, we could do like a 5-hour show just like naming names. Yeah. I mean, it could just go on
and that's what I was going to say. Like, there's so many others that, you know, again, we're celebrating Latinx. This is what Latin Babbler is. On another episode, we can touch on some others as well, you know, because there's just so many of them out there.
Oh, yeah.
And not just, you know, Caribbean, but, you know, Central America, South America.
Now, I found an article that was part of like the Dominican USA Today. And they talk about some interesting points. We're talking about some of these legends that actually took time to pave the way for our communities to be able to enter. And they actually, you know, they broke barriers in the United States. So, you know, that's why it's a part of this Black History Month discussion for us, because as the African-American community broke down the walls to be able to be a part of the things like Jackie Robinson, you know, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, as they broke down those walls to be able to allow people of color to move in, you start seeing people like Roberto Clemente and Juno Diaz and, you know, Celia Cruz become an international sensation, even in the Americas and so forth. So it's a really cool concept. And I know, Bojica, you read the article.
Yeah, I mean, I really like the article because it points out that during the transatlantic slave trade, approximately 400,000 of the 10.7 to 12.5 million Africans who actually survived the Middle Passage made it into the U.S. over the course of the slave trade. Now, the majority of the Africans who did survive the voyage, right, to the Americas, a lot of them arrived to the Caribbean and to Latin America. And also, like, Nat Geo, which is something that I, you know, heard like 3 years ago, Nat Geo has something where they found artifacts in the Grand Canyons okay, of Egyptian, you know, artifacts and different things pointing to pre-slave trade presence of the Egyptians, of Africans here in the United States and also in the Caribbean. So like in Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, there's been artifacts found that predate the Tainos and the Arawaks, which is like the native of the Caribbean.
I find it interesting because of the fact that I love the quote that they have on here. It says, essentially what differs us from each other is where our African ancestors landed mm-hmm. through the transatlantic slave trade. So mm-hmm. doesn't matter that, you know, some landed in Cuba and some mm-hmm. landed in Dominican Republic and then mm-hmm. some landed in Puerto Rico and mm-hmm. some landed, you know, the only thing, they were all the same until they landed at different spots.
Correct.
And so we all took different, you know, shapes and forms and sizes and languages. And so it was just, I don't know. I find it very interesting. What are your thoughts? I mean, when I asked, because there's a huge population of the Latinx community that doesn't associate mm-hmm. with African descent. Mm-hmm. And regardless of the view on this, you know, you see it everywhere in our music, our dance, and a lot right. of our cases, our skin color.
Correct.
Mate, we spoke about this where movies and like the entertainment industries are trying to open up. I mean, what do you think?
Well, I feel that it's time for the media to start showcasing Afro-Latinos more in novelas and Latin movies. It's always been light-skinned Latinx people, those with darker tones, and always played the role of the maid, the gardener, or the chauffeur, or maybe in a scene of a prison. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I think they need to start opening it up more. I think it's time. Like, I think it, you know, they're already making a stand with the, you know, with the Black community. They're being more showcased in movies and stuff like that. I think it's time for us to get in there as well.
And sure. to piggyback off of that, La Tigera, I posted something on Facebook the other day. There were actually, it's a podcast. It's called The Urban Hip Hop, right? And it's mainly hip hop and they're African Americans, but they made it a point to discuss the huge influence of the Hispanics in hip hop. So they were saying that from the inception of hip hop in the early 70s, late 60s, that Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, because of the fact that it started in New York, you know, Bronx, Brooklyn, Queens, that they were, I mean, founding fathers almost. So yeah, very interesting. Right.
Hmm. And you can find that where, Bojique?
It's on Facebook, on Jaime Rivera, or you might even find it on El Bojique in Facebook on my page.
Perfect.
I don't know, but I mean, sometimes I feel that I think everybody has a little bit of everything. I think we're so mixed in that we just don't realize it, and we're just so focused because either you're white, Black, Latino, and I think we all have a little bit of everything. I think.
Well, let's talk about
that.
This because I think it's kind of interesting. So we've had this discussion on the show before, even when we were talking with Christina Malakai, because she's from Spain.
Correct.
And she talked about how she got welcomed into the Latina community, even though she's technically not a part of it, according to her. Mm-hmm. We basically grabbed her and welcomed her with open arms. And she mentioned it as well, how there are areas that people have absolutely no idea about. So we mentioned in the movies that Digita was mentioning before, the top 10, that we have indigenous cultures that we haven't explored that we're still finding out about. We have different types of movies now being made when we're talking about the entertainment industry where you have, you know, Afro-Latinos now making movies.
Absolutely.
And showcasing that specific side. But in our own culture, like you said, we have a mix. So mm-hmm. we have these discussions all the time. I have them on Facebook groups with Latin groups where there's a group of people that associate completely as African-American or Afro-Latinos. We have another group that specifically like grabs onto the indigenous mm-hmm. side of the Latinx community. And then we have some people who say, nope, that's not us.
Right.
Yeah.
And you have to, first of all, whether you feel like it or not, it's a part of our history. You can see it. It's in our mm-hmm. music. Mm-hmm. It's in our dance.
Our food.
It's in the way we associate. Hell, it's even in our hair. Okay.
Absolutely.
So you can't deny it. You can't deny it. Yeah. Pre-Pepsi. So for those of you who are not aware of that, that's an off-site joke. We're talking about Michael Jackson, pre and post Pepsi. So
right.
We all know what that means. So,
but really quick, my story, right? So how I identify myself, I'm very big on know thyself, right? And I promise not to be long-winded with this, but like, so for instance, even Spain, Europe, and all of that, like when you do the history of yourself, right? So I was born in Puerto Puerto Rico. My mom is Dominican, from Dominican Republic, Española. And a lot of people don't know that when the Moors or the Black, the Africans, the Egyptians were kicked out of Spain, they also came to the Caribbean and to the Americas. And that is like pre-transatlantic slave. So there was a presence of Africans or what have you in the Caribbean prior to. When I went to Spain, you go to Toledo, and in some places they will give you the history that the Moors, which is the Africans, when they came out of Africa, they ruled Spain for over, I want to say it was like 700 plus years, where they actually ruled Spain, and they pretty much brought mathematics, astrology, you know. So there's a whole history of how Africa impacted the world. Now, yes, when we go into the Caribbean, we do have the influence of the Arawaks. The Arawaks were the indigenous people from the Amazon who also moved into the Caribbean and mixed. Even in Mexico, I remember a Mexican gentleman telling me, "Oh, Jaime, you look like the original people from Mexico." And I'm like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Yes, look them up, the Olmecs." When I looked them up, they're considered like the gods of Mexico. They're like pre-Mayans and Aztecs. But again, that's history that's not taught.
Exactly. That's why they have those testings now that you can do your ancestry, and people find out they have all kinds of nationalities in it.
Oh, yeah. I did it. Ancestry.com.
Yeah. Like our family have Filipino. We have all kinds. If you look some of our family members, we look Asian. You would never think of that.
Ooh, chinito.
Even Latin Babbler looks a little Asian too.
We got some cousins who look Asian.
Bruce Lee. Yeah.
I'm not going to name them on this show, but you know who you are if you listen.
what are you talking about? You have a little bit of Chino too.
I don't have no Chino in my eyes, man.
Yes, you do, baby. Stop denying it, boo boo.
I don't see it.
Oh yeah, Nene.
Oh yeah, Nene. She's looking with her eyes closed.
Oh, come on. Well, you know what? Maybe not us, but maybe the kids that we had, like people that, like your kids have media chino, so don't go there.
Well, they're Bolivian, so they, of course, they have that.
Correct. That's what I was going to say.
They got that Indian in them.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all got that Indian.
We all got,
I've been doing my research. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that's what's Mojique. Cool. That's what's really
Mojique,
cool.
What were you saying about something called the Moors? Can you say that again?
Yes. The Moors were the people that came out of Africa into Europe. Now, there's a misconception that the Moors were just Arabs. And no, that's not true. The Moors is a specific term to mean black. And they were mixed. They were Jewish. They were Arabs. They were Christians.
Oh, okay.
Which is what, you know, a lot of the history that's kind of lost. But I mean, you can find it on YouTube and just, you know, doing your research. And again, know thyself is a concept that when you start doing the knowledge of self, you come into this information, which is beautiful.
Right. Oh, okay. No, I just find it a coincidence because where I live in my community is called the Moors.
You should look into that.
That's interesting.
Yeah, pretty cool. Look into it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I got to ask you because I don't have this experience. So I'm actually interested in listening to it. So we do all have we have the Latinx experience. But for instance, you growing up, Miss Rocky, you told me the story of when you were a kid, you were considered Afro-Latinx to the community that you were a part of.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like? Growing up with that,
I'll be honest, I was bullied a lot. Mm-hmm. I was raised in a neighborhood that was predominantly white, mm-hmm. and from Hispanic, Cuban, Argentinian, Spanish, descent. So having a mixed child in a upper neighborhood, mm-hmm. was really something you didn't see every day.
Taboo.
Right. So my mom's Colombian. My dad is from Aruba, but he is, he is a lighter skinned black gentleman, mixed. And I mean, we have all kinds of mixes. I mean, like I said, mm-hmm. I did the ancestry.com and I'm like 85% African.
I love it.
Now your stuff is in the system.
That's it. Damn. From the motherland. So yeah, I mean, I was racially put out there a lot.
Mm-hmm.
My mom, she's from the Spaniard background, so she had nice flowy locks when I had, the coarse, mm-hmm. curly, nappy hair. Like I said, pre-Pepsi, Michael Jackson, looking Afro. But, I rocked it to the best of my ability. And, and it's what made me stronger and made me go into my background and to research and really go deep and just be who I am, and this is who I am. So, hey, you love it or you leave it. So,
and Ms. Rocket was super interesting. Sorry to like interrupt, but we don't realize it's called synchronicity in life, right? So, you know, you're giving us the history of yourself and what you've been through and lived, and it just so happens that your community is called the Moors,
right?
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and Bojica, you are like probably the darkest mm-hmm. Puerto Rican Dominican I know. You must get stopped like every day by cops.
Yeah. Right. Well, I don't get stopped every, but I mean, yeah, I've had a lot of that. I've had the and that's the thing. Even getting looked down on because of the fact that since I've always been attracted to the Afrocentricity of like myself and the plight. People would ask family members or whatever, why do you always like on that, you know, excuse the expression, right? This is all out of love, like on that black thing and this and that or the other. And how can I not? That's how I'm looked at. And I always tell people that I have two strikes against me, right? So I'm black and I'm Hispanic. So it's kind of like, you know, a double whammy, right? But yeah, I've had those experiences on the job with officers, I've met beautiful, wonderful Caucasians, beautiful, wonderful blacks, but I've also met the opposite where they're not so lovely and so nice.
Could it be where you live?
No, it happened in Miami. As a matter of fact, it happened in Miami to the point where I had family members even, but we won't go there. But I've had friends who were my same complexion that were Cuban that stated that they would never go to the beach with the sun out because they didn't want to get darker. We could go into the story.
Yeah. Wow.
You know? But I mean, we have that here in Miami. We have, yeah. You know, unfortunately Cubans that are racist with their own kind.
Correct.
You know, I mean, there's people all the way. And yeah, just to piggyback off what you're saying,
even Puerto Rican and Dominican.
Like even growing up, I wasn't black enough to hang out with the blacks. And I wasn't white enough to hang out with the whites.
Right.
So I was never like good enough for either or.
Correct.
Because when you see me, they're like, oh, you know, she's a fair skin, light skin, freckle face mm-hmm. girl with some nappy hair. Right. Mm-hmm. So it was like I was never good enough for either.
Damn. And it is nappy, though.
Yeah. I'm going to show you nappy in a minute.
Ouch. When I first moved here to Miami was not very... How would you say, like, I came from Jersey. Jersey is all kinds of nationalities. When I moved here to Miami was not nowhere near that. It was either preppies or, you know, it was, like, very divided. It wasn't so united like it was up north. I noticed that the moment that I moved here.
Right.
I hung out with Arabics. I hung out with blacks. I hung out with Puerto Ricans, with all kinds of people.
I hung out with everybody.
But the Northeast is completely different. It's like a melting pot of all different nationalities. So when you're talking about growing up in Patterson, it's completely different from growing up in Miami.
No, but I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? Is like, I can understand what was going with Miss Rocky, because when I moved here, it was nowhere near like it is now. It was a campo. To me, it was a campo. Like, it was preppy, gap all day. You know, like, I felt like it was 90210 high school. So it was a different world here. Yeah, it was a different world when I moved here.
I lived in Miami for what, 5 years, I think is what it was. And for me, I guess the one thing about Miami is that I kind of never went out except for with my family. So I never got to see, you know, what Miami really was like from a workforce perspective or, mm-hmm. you know, from a living perspective. So I can't say that. I know that, you know, we mentioned before how Cubans are, you know, they kind of chastise their own. It's not just a Cuban thing, though.
It's
every race.
I just
want
to make sure
it.
That we open it up. Like, every race has it. And everybody. Latinos do it themselves. Puerto Ricans do it to themselves. Right. You know, Dominicans do it to themselves. And Dominicans, it's actually funny because you have a section of Dominican Republic that's very light skinned.
Right.
And they torment the rest. And then you have a section of even light tan skin and they torment the rest. So it's just kind of weird how it all works out. And I think that we honestly should be kind of eliminating that because it's mm-hmm. causing a lot of divide on something that Absolutely. Should be extremely beautiful and amazing. I mean, mm-hmm. if you look at our culture mm-hmm. and the advances that we've had, even in a couple of years, now you may or may not agree with the music or who the artist is or how they are, you know, from a public standpoint. So I know a lot of people don't like, you know, how some people like Cardi B and stuff like that behave. But it's none of our business what they do on their side. You know, we can say whatever we want in our private lives about it, but you can't take away their achievement. I mean,
beautiful.
Where they were and where they are cannot be taken away.
Mm-hmm. I just want to point out, though, even though my hair is nappy, I'm still fine as hell. Watch out.
She's still going with that.
Silky.
Hey, if I would have said it to Bojique, would he have turned around and taken that offensive?
Well, I'm just saying, it doesn't matter. I'm just saying my hair might be nappy, but I'm, you know, I'm still fine as hell.
Hey, that part. The darker the berry, the sweeter the juice.
It's funny you talked about Cardi B because she did a video not too long ago basically speaking about exactly what you were talking about. Mm-hmm. The Dominicans going against each other.
They do.
Yeah, and she's not going back over there either.
Right. And I mean, and just to clarify what I meant about Cubans, that was just my
experience.
My experiences, because here back in the 80s and the 90s, predominantly the Hispanic culture was Cubans. And they are the majority here in Miami. So when I say that, because I do have friends that are white Cuban, and I do have friends that are black Cuban, and they're you know, they're racist against each other, which is blows my mind. It blows my mind how they could be that way. Like, you came from the same place, you bleed the same color blood. Like, I don't understand.
And so, for me, I dated a Cuban, white Cuban. I dated white Colombian. I dated, and it, for these two, there was that issue where I could not be introduced to the fathers because there was this stigma of like, oh, you're black, and yet when you look at both of these cultures. When you really look at both of these cultures, their founding father, like the builders of their civilizations, have been black, but it's whitewashed. It's not spoken of. It's taboo. You don't want to discuss that. They're the worst of the worst. They're uneducated. They're this, that, and the third, to basically give rise to, you know, whatever, ignorance, you know, because that's what it is ignorance. And that's what I say.
Yeah, and of course, it's obviously heart. Ignorance.
Yeah,
and if you go to Dominican Republic, you see it. Like, they have statues of Cristobal Colón and his brother. And like,
I want to say one more thing.
It is what it is.
When I first moved here, I played volleyball, and I was the only white girl on the team. And I felt great. It was awesome. I'm being serious. The only Latina. Everybody else. Everybody else. You know what I'm trying to say. I don't want
to
get into that. Right. You know what I'm trying to say. And I had a great time.
Because it's amazing. I mean, how people, you know, they get so, like, real... you know, it's bananas. Defensive of that, you know, about
it's
that.
It's bananas.
I didn't care. It was awesome, and I still talk to them to this day.
Who?
Did you pave the way?
I used to play with all the Coconut Grove girls, girl.
Makiba, Latrice,
all of them. Miss Gavin, they're all on Facebook. Yeah, girl.
Now,
for those of you guys who didn't know, these two went to high school together. So that's naming out names.
And middle
you know.
School.
They're not just making up names as they go along.
These girls were no joke.
Hey, I dated Ebony, my first girlfriend in Miami, and Ebony was pitch black.
Oh my goodness, we're gonna get sued now. We're naming names.
Oh no! yeah, right. Exactly.
People gonna come on the air. So, just to say, I mean, if you look at it, a lot of our Latin, Afro Latinx artists, entertainment speakers, professionals—they're starting to open the door. Now, I would like to see a lot more Afro Latinx people, or even Latinos in general, in bigger positions of power. That's what I want to see. I'm glad that, you know, California has its first ever Latin senator.
Right.
So, and I'm glad that we're starting to see people in Congress.
More women and women of color.
More women, more Latinos. And so I just think it's amazing, you know, and it's opened the door for all African-Americans and Afro-Latinx people to be on the same forum like everyone else, because we have an amazing culture.
Yeah, I love it.
And I think that people don't understand how amazing they're automatically shutting the door down on something that they have absolutely no idea about. And the culture, you know, we got to share it. And it's a fantastic history that will open your eyes to the African-American community. We celebrate you this month.
And
you're
we love
you.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful.
Hey. And thank you.
We understand that even though we have some strides to make, we still have a long way to go, and we're there side by side with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So guys, that is our show. You can listen to our show every Wednesday at 5 p.m. on our neighborhood radio. You can also listen to it on every podcast, literally every podcast app you can possibly think of. Yes. And you can follow us on social media at Latin Babbler Show on all forums. Visit our website, www.latinbabbler.com. And don't forget to join the Facebook at Latin Babbler Show. All you got to do is look for it. You type in Latin Babbler Show, the group comes up. And pay attention to our new Instagram because it's being revitalized and it looks amazing. So, with that said, I'm the Latin Babbler along with the crew, and we are out.
Out. Woo-hoo!